What do you think of when you think of content marketing? I'm guessing the same thing as everybody else. Blogs, articles, ebooks, videos, infographics, that sort of thing. But have you ever thought about creating tools as evergreen content? How would that even work? Also, in this episode, I go for gold on Facebook Live updates, practical tips on how to get amazing audio for a Facebook Live event, and the latest Facebook algorithm changes. All that and a whole lot more in this episode of Inbound Buzz.
Welcome to the Inbound Buzz podcast, your weekly jolt of all things digital and inbound marketing, brought to you by redpandas.com.au. Now for your host and co-founder of Red Pandas, Moby Sadiq.
Welcome to Inbound Buzz. I'm your host, Moby Sadiq, and I hope you're very, very well. Now, did you catch my interview with Saith Bulkey last week? Man, if you have anything to do with lead generation or sales, and let's face it, if you're listening to this, you probably are, you've got to check out that interview. A lot of value there. Amazing gentleman, that Saith Bulkey. And I really hope you're digging the interview format because I've got a few more big guests coming up. And next week's one is a very, very special one. But I'll torture you for now and I'll tell you who that esteemed guest is a little bit later. But what I will say is the guest was featured at the Grow with HubSpot event in Sydney held on June the 22nd. Did you go to Grow, by the way? That's what I'm calling it anyway, because Grow with HubSpot is too long of a title. But man, what an event. If you missed it, don't worry, because not only did HubSpot actually live stream the whole thing, which is such a great idea to live stream a free event, by the way, but they've still made the replay available. So not sure how long that will be up for, but I'll share that in the show notes anyway, and you can watch the whole thing in its 3.5 hour long glory. But just to give you a quick summary, you know, it's pretty much the HubSpot deal, right? Inbound marketing, attracting customers, so how to attract customers, how to convert customers and how to convert customers. And they had a few sort of panels and guest speakers as well. And really, really cool. And yes, a lot of it was fairly, introduction type stuff, like if you're fairly new to inbound marketing. But even if you've been doing this sort of stuff for a while like me, there's so much to pick up on, so much to learn. So definitely check that out. I'm sure you'll get a lot of value out of it. Now, one thing I wanted to share with you was something that Ryan Benici touched on, namely the idea of creating tools and utilities as content. So in the opening buzz, I mentioned blogging, articles, infographics, videos, blah, blah, blah. That's what you think of when you think of content marketing. And that all that stuff is really, really great. You should be doing that stuff. You need to do that stuff well to make it work. And you need a strategy and you need to be doing it consistently. And by the way, the Grow event goes into this in a lot of detail. But what I want to touch on specifically is what Ryan was talking about in terms of software and tools. And he spoke about how they're so underrated and they're so underutilized, and I have to agree. He refers to them as shiny tools, right? And he says you shouldn't really touch them until you get the basics like bloggings and ebooks down pat. Of course, that makes sense as well. Now, I'll give you an example of the tool that Ryan mentioned. And he spoke about HubSpot's website grader, right? So the idea is you go to website.grader.com, you punch in your website's URL, and it gives your website a score out of 100. It's actually a really, really good tool. It tells you how strong your website is based on four factors: speed, performance, mobile friendliness, SEO, and security. Basic things you need to get right. And I definitely recommend you check that out. Share that in the show notes. Website.grader.com. See what you get out of 100. Now, why would you do this as a brand? Why would you create a tool or a software or some sort of utility like that? Because it's an amazing lead generation tool and it's evergreen. It's going to be around for a while. And in HubSpot's case, what you actually have to do is, yes, you get the results right away, but if you want them emailed to you, you have to give them your email address, right? And of course, you go into the hopper of inbound marketing and nurturing and eventually you end up buying the thing. But there's a couple of tips I have for you here. The first tip I have is ask yourself, what tools can I create that will help my targeted persona? That's the key, my targeted persona. And if you don't know what a persona is, by the way, check out episode number 11, where I go into personas in detail, and the idea is getting into the head of your personas, identifying their pain points, you know, what keeps them up at night in terms of their role, what bothers them, what is taking them a lot of time, and looking to solving that problem. Now, is the question arises is, can we help them via a tool format? And in HubSpot's case, they ask themselves, how can we create a tool that answers a burning question that marketers have? And they thought about the marketers, they looked at the personas, they thought about their pain points. And one thing that they said that keeps really, really bothers marketers and a question that they ask all the time is, how good is my website? So they took it upon themselves to develop this tool based on 4 arbitrary factors, which are basic and actually really important factors. And this thing for them has been gangbusters in terms of leads. Now, the second tip I have is, it doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to spend what they must have spent. I can only imagine maybe $10,000 to develop this tool and the algorithm and all the automated stuff that happens with it. Now, it doesn't have to be that expensive. It can be a simple calculator, for instance. And this kind of reminds me of years ago, I had a client in the fluid management business, and they found that one of the most frequented pages on their website was the calculators page. But this is a crazy thing. There wasn't any actual calculators on the page. All they had was formulas. So for example, I don't know, like a hydraulic equation, here's the equation, right? You can't actually use that as a calculator. It's just, the equation is just there for you. So I said to them, look, why don't you spend that little bit more extra time, a little bit more resources, a little bit more money, and develop an on-site calculator where all that person does is they punch in the figures, they hit enter, and it spits that out for them. They don't have to go try to get a calculator and do all that sort of stuff. So you don't need to develop a whole piece of software. It could be something fairly inexpensive like a calculator. Or look, honestly, if you really don't want to spend money on something like this, a simple spreadsheet template, for example. Even that acts like a tool. You just have to be creative and you have to look at what your competition is doing. If they're offering services like HubSpot is and you throw up a simple spreadsheet, then, you know, in relative terms, it's not going to go very well. But if your competitors aren't doing this and you've thought about your persona and your pain points, then it will work well. Now, the third and final tip here is use Google AdWords Keyword Planner tool. Or if you want to find long tail search, use something like keyword.io. So keyword.io, I'll share that in the show notes as well. I've mentioned this tool in my content marketing episode before, but it's really, really helpful to help you find long tail search and long tail queries, like how much does marketing automation software cost, for example. And often punching those in and then using the AdWords Keyword Planner tool to find volume will give you a good idea to find out whether that is actually a real problem people are asking before you go down the rabbit hole of trying to develop a tool that nobody really wants. So that is your quantitative research. And don't forget your qualitative research either. Asking the people at the coalface, the sales guys, the receptionist, what are the questions that people ask us? Those are really good steps to start your exploration into doing something like this. So just to wrap that up, remember, once you get the basics down pat and you're looking for that next thing to stand out, consider using tools and software as content marketing, as content and lead generation hooks. But remember, the key is make sure you have the basics down pat. All right, on to the next buzz. Now, the next buzz is a resource / insight I want to share with you. And that resource is inbound.org. So for those of you who haven't been on inbound.org, it's an online community that can really help you stay on top of all things digital and inbound marketing. And it's really, really cool. A lot of savvy people on this very, very active community. Now, how it works, it's a community-based news platform where people can submit the most interesting and up-to-date industry news. They can ask questions, they can share resources, and it's almost kind of like a forum style format, but a lot sexier than, you know, the old fashioned forums. And then people actually decide which ones matter and they put their feedback and everything. So it's really cool, not intimidating at all. Check it out. Again, I'll share that in the show notes as well. Now, one thing that came up the other week, one little thread that really, really caught my eye was a question somebody posed. What marketing tactics do you hate the most? Right? What marketing tactics do you hate the most? Now, I'll link the entire post in the show notes so you can see, you know, what the top 10, top 20, whatever it was, were. But you want to know what the number one most hated tactic was? It was when people add me on social networks just to pitch me. Now, keep in mind, this was voted on by marketers, so by no means it's not statistically representative of Gen Pop, but it's interesting nonetheless because marketers are more aware of what the tactics actually are. So the number one was when people add me on social networks just to pitch me. Now, you should never ever do this. You know, and LinkedIn, you know, people on LinkedIn are big offenders of this, right? Whether it's recruiters or sales people, you should never do this because when someone connects with you, whether it's on social media, whether they download an ebook, whether it's on LinkedIn, whatever it is, that isn't a license for you to do a sales job. That's just a license for you to open up a conversation and nurture that prospect, right? So for even with salespeople, right? If someone adds you on LinkedIn, that doesn't mean necessarily they want to buy your shit. Maybe they've just added you to boost up their LinkedIn numbers. Maybe they were just being nice. You know, maybe they find you cute, I don't know. So what could you do? Well, you could send them something, but don't gate it. So on LinkedIn, for instance, if you are in sales or you are in lead generation and someone connects with you, my recommendation would be, say, you know what? Do some research actually on their LinkedIn profile. Find out something about them. You know, say, oh, hey, it's interesting you went to the University of Sydney. I went there too. By the way, here's a resource I think you could really use. Free of charge. You just give that over. Don't gate that again and make them jump another hoop. Give them something that they will value. And that's it. And nurture that conversation just like you would with your neighbor, right? And for recruiters, like, oh, God, where do I start with recruiters? Now, not all recruiters are vampires. I've got friends of mine who are recruiters, very, very good recruiters. But recruiters, man, you know, you can tell when someone has read your profile, they've looked at your experience, and then they've actually talked about that when they talk to you on LinkedIn and say, you know, I think this could be really right for you. And if it's not, you know, let's just keep in touch. As opposed to when you can tell they've just copied and pasted pretty much their ad from Seek and just blasted it with no respect or regard in terms of what that person does or their strengths. So, you know, don't get lazy with that. Another one of the most hated marketing techniques was giant pop-ups that want me to join the site before letting me see any of the site. They can keep their content for somebody else. Now, keep in mind, this is really interesting, and I think it's very representative of the time we're in content marketing at the moment, the where we are on that kind of life cycle of content. And there is huge ebook fatigue, right? There really is. These days, you really have to share something of value to get cut through. You know, gone are the days where you just wrap together some crappy blog posts, you know, a weekend done sort of ebook. You really have to share something of value to actually get it through. Now, there's also talk at the moment these days, a lot of people are talking about removing, you know, gated content. So removing the so-called gate. So the gate might be someone giving their email address. And I don't agree. I disagree heavily with that. If you're going to have content worth sharing, then someone should give you their email address. That's very reasonable. But like we said before, that does not entitle you to a sales job. It entitles you to open up a conversation. A conversation you can nurture with content and personalization. That's why people who use HubSpot well are making a ton load of money, because they're getting that nurturing and personalization point right. They're not just trying to have a sales job. And the other thing too here, right, with, you know, on this giant pop-up comment that was voted so highly, it's like, say, Bulky said last week in his interview, don't have a 0-second pop-up. You know, contextualize it. Have it after 3-4 pages. Contextualize the offer to what they're looking at. But you know what? You've got to check out that interview. I'll let you do that in your own time. You know, and in general, just to cap this off, people don't want to be marketed to, right? Even if they're marketers or not, people do not want to be marketed to. Your stuff isn't that good, particularly for someone who doesn't know you yet. What we need to do, what we need to continue to do, is play an educating role. Marketing isn't easy. It isn't easy, and that's why I love it, but it isn't insurmountable either. All right, okay. On to the next big buzz. So it's almost like three buzzes in one here. Facebook Live, right? Now, Facebook Live, I've already spoken about Facebook Live. I must have mentioned it at least two times in the last three or four episodes. But man, these guys are really pushing this thing. It's blowing up and doesn't show any signs of slowing down. And I want to talk about three things really quickly. I want to talk about the new Facebook Live updates, recommended gear for beginners to use, so stuff that I've actually used for audio or that I will be using for audio quality, and thirdly, some newsfeed changes. But just onto the new Facebook Live updates, right? So just last week at VidCon, they released three new updates to Facebook Live alone. So now soon they'll let you do two-person remote broadcasts. So the idea is, it gives me the ability, for instance, to stream a broadcast. I can interview someone in another location and stream that to my audience. It's like a podcast interview on steroids. Now, the second thing that they've released as a feature is wait rooms and pre-scheduled broadcasts. So the idea is the wait room allows people to hang out before the actual stream. So you might kick off at 7 and there's a wait room there, but you don't actually kick off your event till 7:10, for instance. Now, this is really cool because it's kind of like the chicken and egg scenario. You know, a lot of broadcasters, they don't want to start until they have a lot of audience, but they need to start to have the audience. And at the same time, nobody wants to kind of just be like the only person in the theater. They don't want to kind of jump in if there isn't a lot going on. So this lets brands and pages actually get some numbers, build some anticipation before the actual event. So the other thing I mentioned is pre-scheduled broadcasts. Now this sounds like a really, really obvious one. And the idea is, you know, pre-scheduling that so people can almost sort of RSVP to that event and be notified before the stream goes live. So, I mean, that's like a no-brainer to me. You know, you RSVP to an event, so why they hadn't released that earlier is beyond me. But cool, it's good they're doing that now. Now, the third thing that they're releasing is Masquerade, right? And they spelled M-S-Q-R-D. And they've essentially just ripped off Snapchat's filters. You know, the Snapchat filters with, you know, cat faces and funny hats and that sort of thing. It's essentially that. So you can go live with Masquerade and have all these cool and engaging, you know, filters. So it'll be interesting to see how they've actually thought about using that. So my advice is get in early. These things always have a big first mover advantage. Facebook is really pushing Facebook Live to be a success. They want to do what Google Hangouts never really could achieve, which was move beyond just techies and marketing types streaming live video. They want to make it accessible for the masses. And the other thing at the moment, if you haven't noticed, Facebook is really, really favoring Facebook Live in the news feeds. Now, I mean, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Facebook's natural organic reach isn't really that high. If you pulled out a post, you might get 5%, 10%, the average used to be 16.6%, not sure what it is at the moment exactly, but it's pretty low. So at the moment, you can get a lot of reach with Facebook Live. But what's going to happen when everyone jumps onto Facebook Live and brands are flogging it to death? Then they're obviously going to throttle it down. So let's just talk a little bit about practicality at the moment, because a lot of people I know are a little bit hesitant to use Facebook Live because most people are using their mobile phones. Now there's advanced setups where you can use digital SLRs and whatnot, but most people, for the most part, are going to use mobile phones. And even if you're a couple of meters away from your subject, or you're in an open area, it's going to sound really bad, and people are not forgiving when it comes to audio. So now, what I've done is, because I want to be doing more and more of this sort of stuff myself, and a lot of people may know, I run a meetup group called Digital Marketing DIYers, and we're running a new one in July soon, and I'm going to run this on Facebook Live as well. So I did a little bit of research, and well, probably 4 hours later, I found this little kit called the Asden WMS Pro Wireless Lavalier System, right? So long, techie piece of thing, but it's really, really quite simple. What it does is allows you to have those mics. They're called lavalier mics. It sits on your shirt, and it's connected to a little pouch thing that you put on your pocket, and it's wireless, and it transmits that audio to another box, which is a receiver. Then you get this little wire that you can connect that receiver to your iPhone, and voila, now you've got wireless audio running from yourself to your iPhone, which you can put onto a tripod and stream that to the world. So it's pretty simple. With this kit, you get all of that gear with it. You get the receiver, you get the transmitter, you get the wire, and you just hook it up, put your iPhone on a tripod and you're good to go. The other thing it comes with is a microphone too. So if you want to do interviews or that sort of thing in the future, it's a good thing to try out. Man, this really is turning into a Facebook episode, right? But before I drop the Facebook subject completely, I want to share something that kind of flew under the radar last week in the world of marketing. And that was Facebook is adjusting the algorithm yet again. So the algorithm essentially controls a lot of things that you see on Facebook, and it controls, for instance, the reach of your posts, what Facebook is currently favoring at the moment. Of course, we know they're favoring Facebook Live at the moment, so it controls a lot of that. And just days ago, in late June, Facebook announced that the algorithm will be adjusted yet again to favor friends and families over publishers in the newsfeed. Now, they did this in the past, but they're tightening the screws again to favor friends and family over publishers. Now, the technical changes this time around is that Facebook will favor links shared by your friends and family over links publishers place. So, for example, I could share a blog post on the Red Panda's Facebook page, but it will matter a lot less than if someone reads my blog and they really love it, like a person, and then they drop that onto their newsfeed and they share that with their friends and family. I mean, it's common sense, but this is going to be a lot more pronounced than it used to be. And it really does make sense. So the VP of product, a dude called Adam Moresi, recently said, "Our success is built on getting people the stories that matter the most to them." So what does this matter for brands? Well, Adam also said that the newsfeed has two main priorities, and that's inform and entertain. So informing and entertaining should really dictate what you put out on Facebook as a brand. Keep in mind, they didn't say sales and promotions and offers or even competitions, although if it's entertaining, then it falls into entertain. They said inform and entertain. And I'll share a really, really handy link by The Verge where they talk about this new update at length. The other thing the actual article talks about is what Adam Moresi calls the five values for the Facebook feed, right? And these five values are friends and family come first, which is what is now reflected by the new update. Secondly, it's a platform for all ideas. Thirdly, it should not contain fake, spammy, or sensationalist stories. Fourthly, you control what appears in your feed. And finally, it will evolve over time. So that, in more detail, supplements the whole inform and entertain ideas that Facebook is really trying to promote and be known for. So I hope you enjoyed that little Facebook State of the Union style update. There's life in that old dog yet. Now, I promised I would reveal at the end of the episode who I'll be interviewing next week. And that gentleman is by the name of Kip Bodner. For those of you who don't know who that guy is the CMO of HubSpot. So real, real heavy hitter in the industry, right? This guy is like the oracle of the marketing world. So that's all I'll share with you now. You'll have to tune in next week to hear that episode. It's a really, really cool episode, by the way. I'm doing it with my mates from the HubShots podcast, Ian and Craig, and the three of us are interviewing him together. So it should be a lot of fun. Oh, and before I forget, that event that I bought all that audio gear for is for the next Digital DIYs meetup that we're hosting on July the 19th at 7 p.m. And the event is titled The 10 Ultimate Lead Generation Hacks You Need to Grow Your Business. So no fluff, no filler, just 10 actionable tips and tools that you can use, that I use with my clients, to achieve success in your business. So don't miss out. That's just been released. And last time we did this, the tickets, I think, got booked out 24 hours beforehand. So you don't want to miss out. I'll share that in the show notes and would love to see you there if you're in Sydney at the time. So that's it. That brings me to the end of another episode. Thanks again for joining me. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead. You know where to reach me, moby@redpandas.com.au or on Twitter @MobySadiq. And if you liked what you heard, don't forget to rate the show on iTunes. Really, really does help get the word out to everyone else. Keep yearning for the learning, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Inbound Buzz. Learn anything? Return the favor by spreading the word. Want to make your mark in digital? Need help with your digital strategy, inbound, and marketing automation efforts? Then visit redpandas.com.au and be sure to tune in next time for another Inbound Buzz hit.